Well, the list of presidential hopefuls reached 8 yesterday when Dana declared her interest, but it was Martin McGuinness's declaration at the weekend that added a new excitement to a hitherto dull run-in. Last night on BBC Northern Ireland, Martin McGuinness took part in a feisty interview with presenter Noel Thompson. Right from the outset, Mr. McGuinness objected to the line of questioning about how victims had responded to the news of his intention to run for the presidency. And here is a short clip of that exchange.
Well, I mean, I think a feature so far of the announcement that I am going to be a candidate in the presidential election obviously informs the media that they should adopt this type of approach and this type of questioning.
You don't think it's a reasonable line of questioning?
No, I think it's an attempt by the media to whoop up the feelings of victims and try to use the feelings of victims.
You think those feelings need whipped up, as you put it? You don't think the victims already have those feelings?
Oh, I do believe they do have those feelings, but I do believe that the media play a role in trying to sensationalise and manipulate the situation for their own ends. And I think that...
Can I just ask you,
for
example, sensationalising about a statement that the IRA killed hundreds of Irish citizens and you want to lead the Irish nation? Why is that sensationalist?
Well, because, first of all, I would have thought the first question in the interview would have been about my candidature for the presidency of my country.
It is.
And, I think there are other important questions that could be asked. That is a question that could be asked also at some stage during the course of the interview. But to lead off with that certainly suggests that the media have this, at least elements within the media, have this agenda where they try to use victims for their own ends and to whoop up the situation, for example, against my campaign.
In a few minutes, I'll be talking to journalist, author and historian Ed Maloney. But first of all, Danny Morrison, former IRA prisoner, former director of publicity for Sinn Féin, and now a full-time writer. Danny Morrison, good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
I was interested, I hadn't seen that last night because I was introducing the front line on RTE last night, so I didn't get to see it. But it did appear that Martin McGuinness is trying to organise how interviews will be conducted, which is not exactly the best way to start, is it?
Well, first of all, I disagree with you. I think the media are entitled to ask any question they like. They're entitled to do any investigation they like. But so far in this campaign, I see it hasn't dealt with the man in the round, and it has dealt solely with the fact that he was in the IRA, which he has admitted to. And I just don't think he's getting a fair wind. He is not contaminated by big business. He's not in hock to big business in the south of Ireland. He comes at this honestly, openly. And there's a lot of double standards at play. Even the Irish News editorial today and the Irish Times editorial. On the one hand, they question whether or not he is worthy enough to be the president of Ireland. And on the other hand, they're saying, but if he is elected, he will leave the North and the Northern Executive in chaos and it'll damage the peace process. They cannot have it both ways. And as you know, with the history of this island, many people with a very active IRA past, I mean, Dave Lurie, within 10 years of the Civil War, was elected Taoiseach and later became president. So there are precedents for this. And, you know, in 10, 15 years' time, maybe people will look back at this and just see it as part of a continuum of Irish history.
There's often the phrase when we're talking about terrible crises in our country, and the phrase is used, well, nobody died. At the heart of all of this is the fact that many, many people died. And maybe there is a suspicion that at the heart of Martin McGuinness's profile is a big lie, and that is his contention, as told to the Savile Inquiry, that he left the IRA in the early 1970s and had no further truck with him. Nobody actually believes that.
Well, let's be honest and frank. If Martin McGuinness said he left in 1984 or 1994, this debate would still be taking place. So it's not about that issue.
But I will come back to you on the timing. You know, Bloody Sunday and the circumstances around it created a certain atmosphere in Derry that made a lot of people do a lot of things, etc., etc. If, for example, he was chief of staff of the IRA right up to the late 90s or perhaps even into the noughties, it throws a completely different complexion on the man. Would you not agree?
No, I wouldn't agree, because then on the other hand, people are saying that because he had a reputation and he had authority and he had leadership qualities, a person of his calibre was a person that could talk the Republicans and the activists around to buying into a peace process. And he has taken some amazing risks in the last few years, and he's challenged people who still want to turn the clock back, and I think he has taken an incredible stance. But the comparisons and the analogies throughout Irish history are widespread, and I just want to point out a few facts.
Mm-hmm.
Fine Gael agreed to the appointment of former IRA Chief of Staff Sean McBride as Minister for External Affairs in 1948. The new Minister for Justice back then was General Sean McKeown, formerly a member of the IRA who had been sentenced to death by the British. McKeown also was Fine Gael TD's party's presidential nominee in 1945 and 1959. And yet, whenever he was a leader of the IRA flying column in Longford, he, it is said, was responsible for killing up to 24 Roman Catholic RIC men. And yet, Fine Gael had no problem. And from the papers that I have actually looked at, and I haven't had a chance to go into detail, I haven't seen this type of moral debate raised by Fine Gaelers back in the 40s. So what has changed?
So you're saying there's a double standard here?
There is a double standard. The 26-county state, the Irish Republic, was founded in violence. Michael Collins did just not write strong letters to the London Times. He took action. And that is the dilemma that everybody in the 26 counties
but,
has.
But the notion that people would be whipping up the feelings of the victims and the relatives of victims who actually died in the Troubles.
You're missing, I see what you're saying, but you're missing a point.
Yeah,
because would you agree with me that the political opinions of relatives of victims of the RUC in the British Army are just as valid as the political opinions of relatives?
That was precisely the point I was going to make to you, Danny.
But they're never elevated. They're never given the same...
No, hang on a second. If you go back to Bloody Sunday, which, if you like, was part of the cauldron that formed the Martin McGuinness we know today, that happened in 1972. It was 1998 before there was the Savile inquiry, that we did have the discredited Widgery inquiry, but we had the Savile inquiry, which went on for 12 years and only came out with findings last year. If you had said to the people of Derry, let's move on, let's leave that alone, sure, it's been nearly 40 years, they would have been rightly and terribly offended by that. So to in any way dismiss the feelings of people who are victims of the IRA, you have to put that as a corollary to the feelings of the people of Derry.
No, the double standard is here. The war is still being fought by other means. People are running in this election against Martin, and vested interests are running. And there's those people, unionists, former Tories, people like Michael McDowell, people who despise the Republican movement. The point being this, any time Republicans were caught in compromising situations, they were assassinated. Thousands of Republicans went through imprisonment. Few soldiers, few RUC men, despite the fact that the Troubles were started by 50 years of misrule. And Martin McGuinness saw a neighbour, or was a neighbour of his in Derry, Sammy Devaney, was fatally beaten to death in his house. And then the people of the Bogside were gassed in August 69.
But we can throw
Martin
these things back and forth.
McGuinness did not start the Troubles. Started him.
I can throw Frank Hegarty at the Martin McGuinness campaign.
You're free to put all that. All that I'm pointing out is that the British government, everybody's saying, Martin McGuinness, say this, say that. But there's an equivalence here. The British government, the people who did carry out Bloody Sunday, we only know them as A, B and C. Throughout the 1990s, there was loyalist collusion. Sir John Stevens, the head of the Metropolitan Police, thought he was coming over here for 3 months. He spent 15 years examining collusion between British state intelligence forces and loyalist paramilitaries, and he was only allowed to publish 17 pages out of a 3,000-page report. We know that the British government will not give details to the Irish government about the Dublin Monaghan bombings. So it's not just Martin McGuinness. So if you're going to examine this, then I think you have to examine everyone. And Martin McGuinness has said that he will support proper truth and reconciliation commission.
The key to this is we know about the troubles of the rights, the wrongs, etc., etc. However, Martin McGuinness is running for the presidency of this republic, a state that up to relatively recently he didn't even recognise.
Steve Allura did not initially recognise the Free State either, but he went on to become the president. And incidentally, in 1947, the Irish government set up a Bureau of Military History. Now, the records of the testimonies of former volunteers who took part in Raisin and in the War of Independence were not released until 2003, until the last witness died. And that's 80 years after the Raisin and the War of Independence. And incidentally, Eamon de Valera, Richard Mackay and Sean Lamass would not contribute a record about their past to that commission. But Martin McGuinness is saying he will do that, provided everyone else involved in the conflict does that.
There are so many contradictions, I suppose, in the way people are viewing this. Michael McDowell last night drew attention. He made many points, which I'm sure Martin McGuinness would disagree with. But there was one statement of fact which is kind of hard to reconcile with the current platform of Martin McGuinness. Just have a listen.
Just look at an issue like the Queen's visit to this country. Whatever you make of it, and some people have mixed views about it, but, I mean, it was an overwhelming success. What happened in Sinn Féin? The mayor of Cashel was disciplined for meeting her, and the rest of them boycotted her. Now, how can it be that, you have a president now who's supposed to be our symbol of international relations, and he was supporting a boycott the Queen policy.
He has said he will meet the Queen if called upon to do.
And you know the difference is that Martin McGuinness thinks, if I am president, I will meet the Queen, but Mary McAleese shouldn't meet the Queen. Now, where's the logic in that?
And Danny Morrison, where is the logic in that?
Well, I think I was on your programme twice, Pat, both before and after the visit. Mm-hmm. And before the visit, I was ridiculing the visit. And after the visit, I had to concede that I thought that the visit was very positive for Anglo-Irish relations. And Martin McGuinness is not running on a Sinn Féin platform. He's running as a representative of the entire Irish people. So he's not going up there under a fundamentalist Republican position. But obviously he's supported by Sinn Féin as he's supported by independence. I have to hark back. I remember whenever Mary McAleese first stood, and she was described as a tribal time bomb. And so Martin McGuinness knows what to expect from people who resent, for example, like the editorial writer in last Thursday or Friday's Irish Examiner, which said that they couldn't even find anybody from the Republic to run. Eamon de Valera was born in New York.
I want to go back to, I mentioned it just briefly in passing, because when you consider what happened to David Norris for writing a letter, and then you compare the case of Frank Hegarty, who was revealed as a British informer, fled the country, missed his home. Martin McGuinness reassured his mother that he would be safe, reassured Frank Hegarty that he would be safe when he came back. He came back. He was asked to meet the IRA to sort of sort out things, and he was found dead. Martin McGuinness...
Well, I don't know.
Was deeply involved in that situation. How much culpability he has?
I don't know if some of the things that you have said there are totally accurate. So we would need to hear from Martin McGuinness on that. But what I am saying is this. You are entitled to put that before your listeners, to scrutinise it, to examine it. And I think that I came through this 30 years ago when Bobby Sands, when he stood for Fermanagh South Throne, he was demonised. He was demonised. Don Kilcannon got up in the House of Commons, told people from Fermanagh South Throne not to vote for him. Gerry Adams, I think it was a political correspondent of the Sunday Independent, 2 days before the last election in the South, said that Gerry Adams was struggling for the last seat. When Martin Ferris stood in Kerry North, he hadn't a chance. So I think that the people in the 26 counties are a lot wiser than we give them credit for. But you see, the only thing we are talking about is what's perceived to be a negative about Martin McGuinness's past. Martin McGuinness has taken tremendous risks. And if it's good enough for the unions and for Ian Paisley to sit down with Martin McGuinness to organise this part of our country and to bring investment in to save jobs, to try and save public services...
So at the heart of this argument, you're saying, is a double standard. There's partitionist thinking.
Yes, there is. Let's call the elephant in the room. There's partitionist thinking and there's double standards, and a lot of people in the south of Ireland owe their positions of power because men and women went out and died and killed British soldiers and shot them in the back, shot them in the beds with their wives. And that war was pretty ugly also. So let's use this, if we want, to examine where we come from as a nation.
OK, Danny, I'll leave you there. I'm going to take a break, and then Ed Maloney will be joining us from the United States. The crack of dawn, I suppose, there, but we'll talk to him after this.